For the last few months, the Assembly held regular budget meetings, reviewing budget proposals from different city departments and giving the city's finance director and municipal administrator direction for the budget process. The final product of those discussions is what's before the Assembly for consideration tonight. Over the last few years, sales tax revenue has risen steadily, driven by an increase in tourism. Next year, the city is expecting that growth to level off a bit, but expenditures are up over 14%. In a memo to the Assembly, Municipal Finance Director Melissa Haley writes that inflation, increased tourism activity, and increased operations costs have contributed to the increase, as well as staffing vacancies. As written, the general fund budget pencils out with a small surplus of just over $40,000. Most enterprise funds will see increases this year. Water, solid waste, and mortgage rates are set to rise by 4%, while wastewater is expected to increase by over 8%. The steeper increase for wastewater is due in part to updated EPA rules that required the city to invest in a new disinfection system at the wastewater treatment plant. Electric rates aren't expected to rise, though there will be an increase in the base customer fee. The Assembly has decided again this year to fund schools to the cap, the maximum allowable contribution by state law, but the state funding level for schools next year remains uncertain, which has led the district to cut 16 teaching positions next year. To help the district with its budget woes, the city's own budget includes a plan to take over management of the Blatchley Middle School swimming pool and $125,000 for a contract to manage the Performing Arts Center. If the Assembly approves the draft budget tonight on first reading, it will review it again on final reading on the last meeting in May. Fiscal year 2025 begins July 1st. In other business, the Assembly will hear a synopsis of the Sitka Housing Summit Report, a study on housing affordability in Sitka, commissioned by the Baranof Island Housing Authority and Sitka Tribe of Alaska, and it will consider a 20-year historic preservation covenant between the State of Alaska Historic Preservation Office and the City and Borough of Sitka for the Chepansky Island Boathouse. The Sitka Assembly meets at 6 p.m. tonight. Raven News will broadcast the meeting live following Alaska News nightly. The Craig City Council School District on Prince of Wales Island is facing an over $1 million budget shortfall for next school year. So the City of Craig, the largest town on the island, is considering a hike to their sales tax rate. KRBD's Jack Darrell reports the City Council is just trying to figure out by how much.
School districts across Alaska are grappling with budget deficits, from rising operational costs and state flat funding. And Brian Templin, Craig City Administrator, says the City Council is figuring out how far they're willing to dip into their reserves.
So the City Council recently talked about the issue, and from some other funding that we had available, it looked like we were about just under $1 million short of having revenue to fill the gap for the school district.
Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed a bipartisan education bill in late March that would have significantly raised public schools' funds. Templin says that's partly to blame for the deficit, in addition to it just getting more expensive to run their schools. All in all, the district is short about $1.2 million in revenue. Templin says that, the $1.2 million, would be just enough to keep the school district above water and limit how far they'd need to go into their cash reserves. Templin says the council needs to increase the city's revenue enough to fill that gap, and fast. For Craig, he says raising the sales tax rate seemed to be the most logical solution. One idea is to raise the sales tax across the board.
So the first question is whether or not folks would prefer to see that flat tax increase year-round, or whether or not the residents would rather see a seasonal sales tax split.
Craig currently has a flat 5% sales tax. Templin says they could raise that to about 7.5% to meet their goals. Or the city could do a sort of seasonal split rate to ease the burden on year-round residents. Craig gets a lot of summer visitors looking to hunt or fish. So Templin says that could look something like 6% through the winter and 8.5% during the summer months. City staff sent out a survey to gauge public input on just how to roll out the increase.
The common understanding is if the public does not want to see very much of an increase or doesn't want to see any increase, then at the same time they're making a decision that that's the level that they want to fund the school district at next year.
Depending on the results of the city survey, Templin says the final form of the increase proposal will be on a ballot before city council in October. In Craig, I'm Jack Darrell.
Every May, Petersburg celebrates its Norwegian heritage with a week of traditional Norwegian dancing, food, community events, and Vikings dressed in fur. The event is always held around May 17th, Norway's Constitution Day. KFSK's Hannah Flohr takes a look at what's planned this year.
It's an unexpectedly sunny day, and the youngest Norwegian dancers have taken their practice outdoors. They're getting ready for the upcoming Little Norway Festival. Petersburg was founded by Norwegian Peter Bushmen in the late 1800s, but it wasn't until the late 1950s that the Little Norway Festival was born. Glorianne Wollen is a longtime member of the Sons of Norway in Petersburg.
Dutch Durr, he was the president of the Chamber of Commerce for the state of Alaska. He came to town and he said, you have something special here and you should really promote that. And that's where it grew from and continues to grow and morph.
The festival has changed and grown substantially over the years, but the Norwegian dancers are a fixture. Visitors will see kids of all ages running around in traditional Norwegian clothes or bunads. They'll also see Vikings and Valkyries, replete with horned helmets and cleavage and furs. The crew pretends to wreak havoc on the town. They drink from horned cups and goblets and steins. They pile into a short bus with music blasting. What happens on that bus stays on that bus. But the festival isn't all partying. Each year, a member of the community wins the Norwegian American Award. The award celebrates someone for their dedicated service to the community. And no, the winner doesn't have to be Norwegian. Last year, an Irishman won. Chamber of Commerce event director Mindy Lopez says this year might be the biggest yet. There are 75 booths signed up. They'll sell arts and crafts and food along the downtown sidewalks. And there are new events. One, Lopez says, is the fish holding contest.
Whoever can hold the fish the longest is the grand winner, and they win $100 as well as they get to take the fish home if they win it.
I'm sorry, live or dead?
That's what we said too. I hope it's dead, but it could be fun if it's alive.
I confirmed the fish will be dead. Competitors will try to hold a halibut out in front of them above shoulder height for as long as possible. Money from the entry fees goes to the Petersburg Humane Association. Festival events started Saturday the 11th with the chance to explore nearby Kuprinoff Island, free boat ride included. But the festival really gets going Thursday. There's a pageant on Main Street at 5 p.m. That's when the Norwegian dancers perform in their bunads, and the winner of the Norwegian American of the Year is announced. Afterward, it's time for drag camp. That's Norwegian for tug of war. Festival organizer Amber Burrell says that in the past, the game was mostly locals versus visitors. Locals always seem to win. But now she says various teams have been forming around town, and it's anyone's guess how many rounds of drag camp there'll be. She says the rope, several inches in diameter, is easier to hold onto when it's dry. But in rainy southeast, it's hard to find a place to dry it out. This year, though, they might have found a solution.
Julie had a great idea that the pool deck is heated, so we're going to power wash it and drag it up there.
She's talking about Julie Anderson, Petersburg Parks and Recreation's facility organizer. Anderson explains.
Lay it on the deck. There's drains so they can drip dry and it'll be dry. Because it's like bazillion degrees in that pool on that pool deck.
After the drag camp winners are presented with their engraved goblet prizes, it's time for the festival street dance. Burrell says this year the music will come courtesy of a 7-piece band from Seattle called the Stax Brothers.
They're not brothers. I don't think any of them are actually related, if we're going to be honest.
They're just
but
brothers.
They are related to Bert.
That's Alaska Senator Bert Stedman. He's the lead singer's cousin. In the official Little Norway Festival schedule, the band is described as, quote, drenched in soul, baptized by funk, with instinct that is pure rock and roll, unquote. If that's not your idea of fun, there are lots of other options. You can learn to bake traditional Norwegian treats or check out the Scandinavian style show. If you missed that, there's also a dog fashion show. There's a kids' fishing derby, a softball tournament, a strongman sled pole, a grocery cart race, multiple art shows, and multiple beer gardens. And there's the herring toss, just as messy as an egg toss, but stinkier. And you're supposed to kiss the herring for good luck. Shortly afterward, you can paw through a giant trough of shrimp at a free shrimp feed hosted by the Vikings. No, there won't be any plates available. The festival ends Sunday with a Rotary-hosted seafood bake and barbecue. Julie Anderson says it's her favorite event.
It's always fun to close the weekend out with that. It's a lot of fun to go out to the beach and see everybody out there.
This is a haunted lake.
Back at the Sons of Norway, the dancers have finished their practice. Now it's time to get their bunads.
Do you have tights and shoes that you can wear?
8-year-old Blair Phillips tries a bunad with tapestry trim. Once it's on, the reality that she'll be dancing in front of a lot of people sets in.
I feel excited, a little bit nervous.
Little by little, the chaos subsides as the kids leave with bunads clutched in plastic bags and strict instructions to arrive early for the pageant. In Petersburg, I'm Hannah Flohr.
And that's Raven News for this hour.